read that into the record.
Item number one, a resolution by Supervisors Broderick, Romo West, Bowen, and Johnson authorizing the expenditure of funds for the purposes of assisting and encouraging the enrollment of Milwaukee County residents in accessing public and private health insurance, including but not limited to the federally mandated health insurance marketplace that begins October 1st, 2013. On September 19th, 2013, this item was laid over to the call of the chair.
Thank you. I believe you forgot our lead sponsor, Dimitri Evitt, when you read the list of sponsors.
My apologies. It was offered by Dimitri.
And I know, now we do have a substitute resolution offered by Supervisor Dmitrievich, and she is here. Perhaps she can come up and give us an update on what's happened since we last met.
Yes. Okay. I'll give everybody a little bit of time. So, first of all, a few things, too, as well. I sent around a letter from the Milwaukee Enrollment Network that's talking about this compromise. But I want to thank this committee for taking this matter last week and now convening today. I wish I could say I had it planned, but what an interesting time to have this. Hopefully you've seen the news that the federal government released the cost of premiums today. I believe the average in Wisconsin could be near $360 a month. Obviously that changes according to your income, but it's really an exciting time that we're in right now. And like I've said before, this country is about to see the biggest change in the delivery of health care that we've probably ever seen. And so the question we have that we talked about last week is, will we be ready? Will we be ready for, we have 1 million people in Milwaukee County, and we all know the numbers. They've been laid out, 120,000 residents in Milwaukee County, and so on and so forth. Another interesting matter that happened this week was on Monday, Governor Walker sent a letter to nearly 92,000 recipients of Badger Care, and I believe the estimate is nearly 17,000 were in Milwaukee County. 17,000 of our residents here, and if you haven't already begun to get phone calls and questions and emails, they're going to look to us, and they're going to look to local government for answers. And so what I'm here to talk about today, again, I don't want to rehash everything because we had quite a lively debate last week, is you've received communication first from the county executive. I believe it was in the middle of the day yesterday, and then one later in the night from me. I was trying to put all this together. I really want to thank County Executive Abley for taking the time to sit down and meet with me on Friday. And in that meeting, we talked a little bit about where we could find some common ground. And so what you have in front of you today, I believe, is a substitute resolution that depicts that common ground. And if I could, Mr. Chairman, I really want to explain what the changes are. So remember, the administration had their original plan that they spoke about, which was nearly around $229,000, if I'm not mistaken, which was their original plan, using existing funds to prepare our citizens for the enrollment period, which begins October 1st. My plan that I came to you with last week was about $1.1 million, which would come from our projected surplus in 2013. When I talked to the county executive, we went back and forth how I said that I didn't really believe that his plan did enough, and he was a little concerned about my plan immediately expending money, and he wanted to find a way to measure the need as we went along. And so we really listened to each other, and what he put forward, and I agree with as well, is an additional $150,000 on top of the original $200,000, okay? And that you see spelled out here. $90,000 would go for, we have it listed here, the covering kids and families, and $60,000 is the City of Milwaukee Health Department CHAP program, which would be to directly enroll inmates in health plans in the House of Corrections. And I believe it probably provides some behavioral health support, too. So those were two of the ideas that were originally in my plan and not his. So you have his original 200, 90, and 60. And I'm really excited about that because you'll have all three things going on at once. The community outreach to 211 Impact, the city health program, the CHAP program, the community health program, as well as the covering kids and family to support targeted enrollment. In addition to that, again, listening to the county executive's concerns, is putting $350,000 from a projected surplus, as verified by our comptroller, and he can speak about it, within the Department of Health and Human Services in essentially an allocated contingency fund that the department, as they're monitoring along with the Milwaukee Enrollment Network, who will have the metric and be monitoring this situation, can release those funds as we see fit. And in here, you also have a reporting and kind of monitoring requirement, if you will, reporting to come back every month and let us know. Let's just say we're here in the middle of November and things are not going as well as we thought. I hope that doesn't happen. And we're meeting half the enrollment that we had projected. Well, that's a time that we can dip into that $350,000 with the administration and the Milwaukee Enrollment Network and to provide more funds to get resources out into the community to get people enrolled. So, again, it's a compromise. Do I love everything about it? Of course not. That's what makes it a good compromise. But I feel that with this plan, I'm happy to introduce this substitute resolution. I believe that it pretty much codifies what the county executive communicated directly to you all in an email and myself, and then I further supported it with an email. And if you'll allow, Mr. Chairman, I really wanted him to be here last week. He wasn't able to, but if you have questions, David Reamer, who I've consulted with many times, considered pretty much an expert on this issue, is here to offer information as well. With that, I request your support. I hope, and I know that you do appreciate the time it takes to find a compromise, and this way we can work together to make sure that we reach 100% enrollment in Milwaukee County. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Madam Chairwoman, with respect to the compromise, I understand it's more money, and there's going to be a huge need with respect to getting people enrolled. Was the compromise, I don't want to drill too much, but was the compromise based on finances, or was it based on need? Was there a matching of sorts of the need and the finances?
Mr. Chairman, I think
that's... I just want to make sure that it makes sense.
Yep, I think that's an excellent question. And again, you have the communication for the county executive. He really was interested in asking me, for example, where I came up with the $1.1 million. Mm-hmm. And then I, in kind, asked him, okay, well, how prove to me that your $200,000 is sufficient. And that's where we came, okay, the $200,000 could use a little bit of an additional improvement, an additional $150,000. And then having that kind of lockbox of $350,000 mm-hmm. that we could dip into as the need unveils itself. So what I want to be really honest about is that there is a large amount of unmet need. And, right. and I want to be honest with you, even what we're doing here, mm-hmm. even the original plan might not have been enough. Mm-hmm. But I think we have to ask ourselves, what is our role in this? What can we sustain financially and find that balance? I wish we could do a lot more. I also hope that as there is more need in the community, other partners will come on board. I mean, I think that this is a solid commitment. It's in line with other communities. I mentioned Dane County has hired 34 enrollers in a consortium. But I'm also concerned we could be here in 2 months and find out things have taken a turn for the worse, and maybe we need even to find more. But I think this is a solid plan that's proactive. It has a reserve account if there is more need that we weren't aware of, and I think it'll have Milwaukee County ready for the most enrollment.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Can we have, just for procedurally, can we have a motion to approve this?
I move approval.
Okay. Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you. First question, then I'll have a comment. But I'm trying to get all the figures together here, mm-hmm. and I don't see the fiscal note, so I want to know exactly how much we're talking about now. Now, we had $200,000 initially from the county executive impact to 11. You had $400,000. So you had the $400,000, the $500,000, the $240,000, so that's how we got the $1.1, okay?
Right.
Now, the county executive's was $200,000 plus. I know Impact, 211 got $200,000. Now, I'm reading here, and the county executive did send something out that I read last night, and when I talked to you this morning, then I just saw your stuff this morning, and I guess I'll just say in general that this is what I hoped would happen, that, why we waited and not passed this last week, because... needs and monies, I think monies do mean something. But so I see $60,000 extra at the county. I see $90,000 extra. I see $130,000 more Wing Victory 30, $100,000 next year, train extra staff. So I don't know if I need Dr. Colton up here too, or just I want to know exactly where we are. Does the county executive commit $379,000? Are you committing $700,000? I mean, I want to know in this substitute resolution, what are the dollars exactly here? I don't see it unless I'm missing something. So could I have the exact numbers where the county executive and you agree and what your proposal is now fiscally and what the county executive's proposal was fiscally so I can make that kind of judgment?
Okay.
We do have a fiscal note attached.
Is it?
Yeah. It walks us through, Mr. Chairman, everything. I just wanted to ask.
What am I missing?
Maybe while we're looking at it, can I suggest if Risa Colton wanted to come up? I
mean, Dr. Colton, you have something to say?
Thank you, Chairman. Because I'm just seeing this now, is it okay if I just ask some clarifying questions to make sure I'm understanding?
I don't know who you'd ask, and you can't really just sit there and ask her. I don't know if that would really work that well. You know, we do have a fiscal note attached. I mean, if people have some questions, if we need to take sort of a 5-minute recess so everybody can read this and before we have this, why don't we just break till 10:30, and then you can talk and figure out what you want to say, and then everybody can read the fiscal note.
Who prepared the fiscal note? Perhaps they could walk us through, because I have the same
question.
Katie
did, but he's not in the room at the moment.
I mean, I would like to know what money we're putting in this.
Yeah.
I think it's a good question.
Right. Well, I think we'll get to that, but Mr. Katie isn't in the room at the moment, so we'll just come back in 10 minutes.
Okay.
All right.
Fair enough.
So we're recessed till 10:30.
All right.
So.
Okay. Mr. Chair, did you want the item read back into the record?
No, we know.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you, Chairman. So I just want to clarify a couple things that we talked about. So the first thing is the $379,000 is just a compilation of the four contracts that the county executive has already agreed to. The $350,000 is only allocated if the county executive feels that there is a need. We will do an assessment within a few months of the rollout of the ACA to see if there is still a need that the county has a role to fill, and that $350,000 will be used for that in that case.
So as I understand it, then this is sort of like a pre-approval of that $350,000. The county executive and the department may find that they need to use this money, they may find they need to use a portion of it or all of it, and they can just do that without coming back to us.
Right. Okay. It'll depend on a thorough assessment that we do.
Okay. Madam Chairwoman?
Thank you. And that, I can't remember if she mentioned it, but that is also in a great partnership with the Milwaukee Enrollment Network. I think they're the ones that are going to be monitoring this, and they'll have hopefully up-to-date information. Mr. Chairman, I wanted to take a moment. I think it's really important for the record what Supervisor Schmidt, the chart that Steve Cady has provided, it's very helpful. I think what I want to leave you with is the grand total of Milwaukee County resources that could be committed to the implementation of the Affordable Health Care Act would be $729,000. And then you can work backwards. Again, original $229,000 that the county executive committed and spoke about last week, additional $150,000 gets us to $379,000, and then essentially what you had kind of mentioned as a pre-approval of the $350,000. And that's how we've got to $729,000. And that's what I'm talking about. That is something that I think we can feel pretty good about.
Supervisor Roma West has asked to be a co-sponsor of the substitute resolution. I don't think there are any objections, so you can add her as a co-sponsor, please. Are there questions of Dr. Colton?
I have one more.
Oh, go ahead, Supervisor Roma West.
Thank you. Just very, very quickly, obviously I support this. I want to be a co-sponsor. I think this is great that we were able to come to this compromise. I will be offering on the board floor an amendment to line number 68, just to remove the term minority. This is archaic, and I really wish that we, as a county government, would stop using that term. I prefer communities of color. There's this diverse communities. There's a lot of different words that we can use. I myself personally do not like being addressed as a minority. I'm not a minority. I am a person of color. And so I'll move to do that on the board floor. Again, I just want to thank the chairwoman and the county executive for coming to this compromise. Some of my colleagues and I attended the Wisconsin Counties Association meeting on Monday regarding affordable health care, and it becomes very clear that this is much needed and that there's so much more information out there that people don't have. And what shocks me is every time I get more information on the Affordable Health Care Act, is that those numbers continue to rise. The number of single individuals that don't have health care, the numbers of children that will need to be transitioned, the number of families. And so, again, with the release of the letter to our residents regarding Badger Care, I think this is right on time. I was worried before that the $1 million wasn't enough, and so I do have trepidation, but I think overall this is a great start. And what I don't hear is I don't hear somebody saying this is the end-all, be-all, but that we'll reevaluate and come back and visit. So I think it's great. Thank you.
Supervisor Haas?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I heartily support the substitute resolution, which should be added as a co-sponsor.
You'll be added, assuming there's no objection. I don't see any. Supervisor Lipscomb, and then Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question for Ms. for Dr. Colton. I guess I wanted to some clarification whether or not your last statements were supportive enough to say that we've got a commitment that this is an agreed upon compromise, that there's no veto, there's no asterisks next to that support. And then secondly, if there's anything you could tell me about what the metric or the measurement is in terms of the exec's commitment to utilizing the money in the lockbox. It's a great concern to me that there's been any hedging on that. I don't think this is enough. I'm going to support it because it seems like it's the best we're going to get. I don't think it's enough, and I'm concerned that there be any hesitation to tap into this. I mean, how badly do we have to be doing for us to tap into the full amount? I guess I want to know what the metric's going to be.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Colton?
Thank you, Chairman. So the first part of your question, the county executive is okay with allocating this money if he feels, and using it if there's a need based on an assessment. I'm not sure the resolution has that language stated very clearly. I don't see a conditional clause in here that says the $350,000 will only be used if there is a need, so I guess that would be helpful.
That answer your question?
No. Mr. Chairman, it's my understanding that we're delegating that authority to the administration, mm-hmm. and I want to know that there is a commitment to make this work, and that you're not going to, that you don't just see this as an affirmation of the 379. And we're going to sit on the 350, you know, barring this thing failing. I want to know that we're going to actually work to make this a success, and that there's that commitment. I don't want us to be waiting 6 months to go and tap into this. If we're seeing early indications of lagging enrollment, I think we need to be aggressive, and I want to make sure that there's that commitment.
Dr. Cole?
Thank you, Chairman. The county executive and Director Cologne have been working with the Milwaukee Enrollment Network for, I believe, up almost a year now. I think they're seen as the experts on tracking ACA rollout, and we'll continue working with them. I think they can be really helpful to us in assessing the need. So we'll be working with our partners to assess the need. I don't think we'll be making that decision on our own.
Supervisor Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the substitute resolution, lines 111 through 113, it says, with the bid resolve call, says that assessing the use of the additional $350,000 in funding, an emphasis should be placed on outreach to homeless populations and historically disadvantaged groups, which means, to me, means for those people who really need such help, that that help be available. So even with Supervisor Lipscomb's question, there's going to be some vigilance to make sure that these monies are expended the way in which at least the resolution has designated that that the money should be spent. So we'll be vigilant.
Supervisor Stanford and Supervisor Gerzik.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question was along the lines of Supervisor Lipscomb. How would you determine the need? According to the organizations we've spoken to, the need is over there. There's a great need out there. So we'd like to see how you're going to determine that. And we also have an amendment to add to the substitute resolution to address the organizations in this network that deal with certain certain population that need it the most. So Bowen is actually writing it now, and we also told Steve Kay. Would you like to read it, Supervisor?
Mr. Chair. Why don't we get it drafted, and then if we have something that we can keep discussing, and then if you get something we can hand out.
Okay, thank you. So let me get this clear. Dr. Cullen, yep. The way you're going to determine it is meet with the enrollment network and on a monthly, weekly basis? Because we're at a deadline here. So are the meetings set up? How are you guys going to determine when the need is, if we're reaching enough people, if we're not, what's set up?
Chairman, I believe the Director Cologne meets with the Milwaukee Enrollment Network on a regular basis already.
Mm-hmm.
The Milwaukee Enrollment Network, as you know, has partners throughout the county of kind of various, they serve various needs. He's worked closely with Joy Tapper. I think they meet very regularly, and will continue to do so. And we hope they will inform some of our efforts and assessments.
Okay. So there's really nothing for sure.
I guess what we're getting is an assurance that meetings will take place, and perhaps participants in those meetings, that if they aren't satisfied with how the county executive is moving forward, can work more with them or contact others to contact the county exec too. They could contact you and say, we need more and he's not doing it, and you could work with Dr. Colton and the administration to try to figure out how to keep this moving. Got any more for him?
Thank you.
Supervisor Jerzik?
I think the chairwoman did want to also.
I just wanted to add, Mr. Chairman, is that there's plenty of people here representing the Milwaukee Enrollment Network that could speak to that process and how they plan to measure. But more importantly, I want to draw your attention to the end of the resolution that discusses the monthly, it's between around line 115, that the comptroller and DAS, as well as Department of Health and Human Services, will be reporting back to the committee discussing their findings from the Milwaukee Enrollment Network. And there'll be monthly reports. So we'll have, and of course you can always ask in between there, monthly would be the bare minimum. I assume, hopefully, that maybe even if we're lucky enough, we'll get weekly communications. Doesn't have to always be a formal report about where we're at. So I think that's important to see that we've built that into the resolution.
Supervisor Jersey?
Thank you. First of all, I want to thank the chairwoman. I mean, I'm in a much better place today than I was when we initially discussed this during finance. This is not an ideal way to deal with resolutions, but I understand the need to get this moving immediately. And I would just like to say it would have been helpful had the administration been communicating with us on their plans, knowing that this October 1 date is coming down the pike. And I want to thank the chairwoman for initiating this and getting better, better cooperation between the two branches. One question: when we talk about on line 65, enrollment of inmates in health plans, are we strictly talking about the jails, or are we talking about House of Correction as well?
I think the House of Corrections is on board. And I think it'd be great to have the sheriff's participation also.
So the answer is yes. And then the other comment that I want to make is, and I have no objection to providing money for the City of Milwaukee health program that's going to be funded, but I want to remind you that there are health departments throughout the county. I have two cities, St. Francis and Cudahy, which the entire cities are eligible for block grant funding, which tells you something about the diversity of my communities. I want to know how we're reaching out to the other health departments within the county. Could I hear something on that, please?
Mm-hmm. Dr. Colton?
Thank you, Chairman. So the Milwaukee Health Department will be focusing on inmates, which, as you know, is a countywide issue, and House of Corrections is located in Franklin. So I think that allows for a more broad reach just outside of the City of Milwaukee.
But is someone reaching, okay, even the City of Milwaukee Health Department, then, is someone reaching out to the health departments? Just yesterday, the Cudahy Health Department put out an email directing people to go to a YouTube site, which was a very simple version of informing people about the Affordable Care Act. And then following that, there were, I think, at least 7 or 8 additional sites to go to for additional information, which tells you how desperate people are to try to get information out there. And I would just like to know if the county is trying to coordinate something with getting information to those health departments who are going to be on the front lines in their communities on working with people. I'd like to hear a little bit more information on how the county is being proactive on that.
Doesn't sound as Dr. Colton is prepared to answer that question.
Well, I think that might be better answered by the Milwaukee Enrollment Network. I think they've been doing some of that outreach.
Will we hear from them today? All right, thank you. I'll hold off on that. And I think I understand all the numbers. None of these numbers are coming from contingency funds. They're all coming from surpluses within the department. I don't know if the controller is going to talk to us.
I can speak to that. Yeah, I think, Mr. Chairman, I think that's a great question, and I do think that's an appropriate question for the comptroller's office.
Okay, well, we'll wait to maybe he'll have other things he needs to tell us. So, Supervisor Johnson and Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In view of the substitute resolution, I asked, as the sponsor of the original resolution, I asked the unanimous consent to be added as a co-sponsor for the substitute resolution.
Okay. Without objection, we'll do that. Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you. I just want to talk about the process here, and I'm just very pleased and thankful to all the parties here. I raised some objections last week, and I think there's some people have mentioned they're still not happy that enough money is being spent. But look at how we've changed this. I think both parties have a stake in this. We all acknowledge the fact this is precedent-setting, that we need to do something. But all those monies were coming out of contingency or surplus that we can't guarantee. And that's why this committee, I'm thankful to everyone that you waited. And then I don't know why these talks that weren't more aggressive as we've talked about before. We knew this was coming. It's a little surprising that people are surprised with each other's comments. Our county executive representative says today, oh, I haven't seen this. And then, they've been talking. This has been going on for months, and I know the county executive's stuff has been saying they've worked with the same kind of communities that our chairwoman has been working with, too, with their political tenants there, I know, involved with a lot of these communities. And so, I guess we were forced to work together, and I'm very happy, but we wouldn't have done that last week. Everybody was coming as co-sponsors last week to pass this. We'd have been taking over $1 million out of surplus that we're not sure of. We got fire problems, and we got all sorts of other things going on. To spend money as a fiduciary responsibility, a finance committee to be spending money we don't know we have for sure is always something I think we should be concerned about. So I'm pleased, not just for myself, I'm pleased for all our constituencies because there are a lot of people look out there and just say, well, where's this money coming from? They can spend $1 million here. I don't think we looked real good. And that's why I brought it up last week. And yet we're going to be spending $750,000. And I think with potential, with other partners, not taking the pressure off the state and the federal government here. When they see what's going on, I see stuff every day. I'm reading emails. Different kinds of groups are saying out. We got a large email, West Dallas, I know it happened, that they're sending stuff, information out. So everybody's starting to get this information out because now it's here. But my reason, and I'm very happy to support the substitute. I'm very happy to see one. I know it's difficult for the politics we've been through, for the executives and the county board chair and us to agree on a lot, but this is something that there's so many things in county government. This is a terrific example to go beyond politics. You know, it's the right thing to do. But let's do it fiscally responsibly. This is much more fiscally responsible than it was last week. It was $1 million coming out of money we supposedly had. None of this is coming out of contingency anymore, which I'm very happy to see. And yet we have ability to tap some of that contingency if indeed we do go on and see we need some more. But it looks like with all the community advocates, I'm sure, Madam Chair, you'll be able to work with the county executive and to make sure these monies are spent appropriately if we need them. And this is just where we should have been a while ago, and I'm really happy to see we've come to this. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you to all.
If we don't have it.
You want
to
allow people
to
speak?
Yeah, and then we'll go to the amendment.
Okay.
Thank you. We have several people who wish to speak. If you can try to keep your comments relatively brief, we can move forward.
We will hear from the control.
Yes. Yes, we will. First, we have David Reamer from Community Advocates Public Policy Institute. He's speaking in favor. He'll be followed by Sarah Noble, speaking also in favor. 2 minutes or something. Yeah, we can keep it to about 2 minutes. I know you're the expert, so we'll give you a little leeway.
Well, I'll try to be very brief. I've come here today simply, Chairman Cullen and members of the committee, to express support for this compromise. Like any compromise, this is not everybody's perfect resolution, but I think it's really important that Milwaukee County go forward and make both a commitment to provide funds for the specific things that have been agreed upon and put some money into a reserve. I'm not sure that's the right technical word, but funds that would then be available through a simple, hopefully expedited process to spend more if justified, if needed. The Milwaukee County has 23% of the entire population of the county, roughly, enrolled in Badger Care already. We represent about 27% of the entire number of enrollees in Badger Care statewide. So this is a big program for Milwaukee County, and these big changes you've been hearing about, multiplied by the fact that this is a big program in our community, are going to have enormous ripple effects. And the single biggest ripple effect is going to be confusion, uncertainty. Am I covered? Do I have to pay? How much do I have to pay? Many of the people we're talking about being, if I can use the word, being kicked off of Badger Care and being told to go into the exchange, 90,000 statewide, about 17,000 estimated for Milwaukee County. These are people who are being asked to spend only $20 or $30 a month to get pretty good coverage, but they often don't have it. They don't have checking accounts. They don't have savings accounts. They don't have credit cards. Many of them will pay and then forget about it, or they'll change an address, or they'll stop doing it, and, of course, it'll be the next month that they have an accident or an illness. So The need for everybody to step up, including the county, with these resources is appropriate. We all know this great kind of cliche, but it's so true about public policy, that is, we so often allow the perfect to become the enemy of the good. I don't want to say this is a perfect resolution. I don't think Supervisor Dmitrievich or any of you that have co-sponsored it would say it's perfect. It's not perfect. County Executive Abley would say it's not perfect. But this is good. Please go forward with it, and I hope that if you do amend it, that any amendments don't create a problem that could result in a veto. It's really important that we put the money out there, both to be spent right away and then an extra pot if needed. You'll feel very good about this for, among other reasons, when constituents call you and they ask for help. It'll help you to be able to say, go to this source, go to this place, knowing that you've helped contribute to it and that they have an accountability to you to be responsive to the constituents that you send to them. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Reamer? If not, thanks for your time and your efforts in this whole
Thank
endeavor.
You.
Next, we have Sarah Noble from Reproductive Justice speaking in favor, followed by Clarine Mitchell from the Black Health Coalition also speaking in favor.
So my name is Sarah Noble from the Reproductive Justice Collective. I appreciate the opportunity to speak today. Like David Reamer expressed, the Reproductive Justice Collective has begun a healthcare awareness campaign for the express purpose of trying to diffuse the confusion, trying to make sure that people who are going to no longer be eligible for Badger Care and people who are uninsured know about the enrollment, important key enrollment dates related to Obamacare, the fact that open enrollment begins October 1st. So we began outreach in early summer, and we stood in a grocery store on Milwaukee's north side and passed out 400 wallet cards to shoppers as they came through. Rarely did any shopper know that the cuts were coming for Badger Care. Rarely did any shopper understand that the open enrollment period was October 1st. Though they had heard of Obamacare, they did not have any clear understanding about who's eligible to enroll and how to actually do that. Two weekends ago, we went door to door and knocked on 900 doors, and only 2% of those folks that we actually spoke to actually understood all of the key information, that the enrollment period begins October 1st, that people need to make sure that they're enrolled no later than December 15th in order to not have any gap in coverage, so that they are will receive coverage as of January 1. And so we're here today to say that there is a great need within the community. There is a huge amount of not only confusion, but there is a huge lack of information. And so we ask the board to support the community in getting on the ground, being with people who are actually have the greatest need to have the information so that people can get enrolled and there is no gap in coverage, and that people don't end up having no coverage at all in 2014, because if people aren't enrolled by March 31st, there is no way to get coverage at all through the marketplace for the remainder of that year.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Noble? Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for coming today, Ms. Noble. Can you explain the name of the Reproductive Justice Collective and the history that you guys have come about and the issues that you fought for?
Absolutely. So we're a women of color leadership and engagement organization, and we support women of color to lead around critical issues such as Badger Care and Obamacare. And our primary focus is making sure that women of color and families understand how to navigate systems to get the supports that they need so that they can lead healthy lives. And obviously, this one is critically important. We believe that families have a full right to, you know, qualified information so that they can take care of the things that they need to timely. We began working around the Affordable Care Act when it was being debated in Congress in 2009, making sure to build awareness about it at that time, and have continued up through to today. We will be doing everything from going door to door, as I mentioned before. We will be distributing to communities, very targeted communities, by mail. We will be phoning, and we will also be doing some radio, because we see this outreach as critical to making sure that people get the coverage that they need timely.
Thank you. Any further questions?
And the last thing, thank you so much. If you have any handouts, our clerk will take those to your left.
So, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Next, we'll hear from Clarine Mitchell, representing the Black Health Coalition of Wisconsin, speaking in favor, followed by Andy Andre, also speaking in favor.
I'll pass the handout.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Clarine Mitchell. I'm the Director of Collaboration and Communications for Black Health Coalition of Wisconsin. I'm representing our President and CEO, Dr. Patricia McManus. I appreciate this opportunity to be able to come and not just hear your discussions, but be able to participate. We are fully supportive of this process. As was stated, we need much more. The community needs much more, but we're fully supportive of whatever resources that can be added to this process. Black Health Coalition is a community-based health advocacy organization. We're celebrating our 25th anniversary in the month of October. So we have a long history in addressing the health disparities needs within the communities of color within Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin. Thus, our involvement with the Affordable Care Act. We have been actively involved and engaged with the community with the limited resources and staffing that we have, and thus our request and desire to be able to strengthen our resources so that we can do more. As has been noted, especially in the handout that's being passed, the one sheeter from our organization, over 200,000 has been estimated that are uninsured and could benefit greatly from this Affordable Care Act. And yet little information is there on a ground level in the community. With our organization, we're a ground-level, community-based organization, just like the Reproductive Justice Collective, and being able to address the needs that are in the community in a culturally respectful way. And as these funds are allocated, it would be very great, especially with the amendment that Supervisors Boeing and Stamper presented, that the information and the resources are provided to communities of color organizations so that the information can be provided from trusted, known entities in the community in a way that's achievable, connective, and impactful. But we're fully supportive of this.
Thank you. Any Supervisor Roma West?
Okay. Thank you very much. I have a question. Does the Black Health Coalition belong to any of these following groups, Milwaukee Enrollment Network, Milwaukee Healthcare Partnership, or the Milwaukee Health, either one of those two?
Yes, we are part of the Milwaukee Enrollment Network.
Okay, mm-hmm. Thank you.
Anything further? If not, thank you. Now we'll hear from Andre, from Glendale, representing himself, speaking in favor, followed by Heather Dummer Combs, representing the Milwaukee Enrollment Network, speaking in favor. Thank you, Mr. Andre.
Thank you. Andy, live in Glendale. I am not an expert on finances by any means, not even my own, I hate to say it. So when it comes to that part, I will leave it up to you guys to decide what is enough. The only thing I know is that I'm going to be paying for all of it one way or the other because, of course, I'm a taxpayer. Okay. What I came in for is to show you that there are real people like me that need this. Okay, and by the way, I'm not colorless, okay? I am supposed to be the privileged one as a white male. The trouble is that for the last 6 or 7 years, I have been unemployed because the company that is more than 100 years old decided that they couldn't make enough money in America, so they simply closed the place. And if it hasn't been for the extended unemployment, which used to run as much as a year or so, I wouldn't have had any income whatsoever. And this is, by the way, for the last 7 years. Meanwhile, okay, my property taxes are still going on at about $3,500-$4,000 a year. Don't ask me how I come up with that money, okay? And I am thankfully surviving on the food stamps and a Badger Care. Okay, I understand that both of those programs are facing serious cuts. I am not a white woman or black woman. I have nobody to turn to that fights for me. Yet I have the same needs. Okay, so as you go around cutting this or that and favoring one group or another, I would like you to think that there are some of us that are supposedly privileged but aren't. Okay, I think of myself as somebody that is fairly involved in political issues of nowadays, but I still have no clue what I would do if my Badger Care was cut, if my food stamps were cut. So when it comes to helping everybody, don't think of any special group as being more needy than the other. Okay? There's a lot of us that simply don't have the incomes for whatever reason that need help. And I know that we all have to be very careful about expenses and the taxes. But there's a lots of ways you can look at the expenses for this county. One of the one that comes to my mind is every once in a while I try to go down by the lakefront during the summer because it's a little bit cooler, and just to see, do something that I can do for free that doesn't cost me anything. And I often can't even park inside of the parking lot because there's 36 sheriff blocking the path in, hanging out, grilling the brats. Okay.
I appreciate that. You're getting a little far afield from
today. I understand.
I appreciate
you. I understand that, but what I'm trying to say is that there's a lots of ways to look where we're spending money. Okay? And just because we're the most needy doesn't mean that you should cut us out. So please help us for what you can. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Any questions? If not, we'll hear from Heather Dummer-Combs, and then followed by, sorry if I get this name wrong, looks like Kehinde Lumumba. Sorry about that. I'm also speaking in favor. You can correct me when you come up. Ms. Combs?
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's Heather Dummer-Combs.
I
work for the Milwaukee Healthcare Partnership, and I coordinate the Milwaukee Enrollment Network. Thank you very much for the opportunity to be here this morning and to speak. I'd also like to thank Chairwoman Dmitrievich for advancing this work. As you, I think, are very aware that much is needing to be done in the coming months with the major changes that are occurring. And we, as a network, have been working for months leading up to this, trying to do our best to coordinate the efforts that are happening in the community. And I think it's still going to be, if I can be so bold as to say, inadequate for the need. We estimate that there are 120,000 individuals in Milwaukee County who are going to need some form of assistance in enrolling in coverage, whether that is BadgerCare Plus with the new reformed changes, or enrolling in public private health insurance through the marketplace. So in order to do that, we need to ensure that there are adequate feet on the ground to be able to do that. We estimate that, or we have a goal that 160 certified application counselors, or CACs for short, need to be in place to assist those individuals. And some of the organizations that are listed that are proposed to receive some of this funding will actually go towards supporting that certified application counselors. City of Milwaukee's Community Health Access Program, or CHAP for short, they currently do some extensive work in the community in assisting people in enrolling in public benefits. They are committed to ramping up all of their staff for them to all be certified application counselors, expanding their staff and their scope of service. They currently do not turn anyone away. They do not just assist the City of Milwaukee staff. They assist people beyond the city, and they are committing to do that and expanding that even further. For instance, I know for certain that they go to Project Concern of Cudahy and St. Francis currently and assist people in enrolling in coverage, and they are committed to continuing to expand the work that they do. To also speak to the Public Health Department question about what work have we done, the network met with all of the public health departments in the county. As you mentioned, there are many of them, and provided them with some base education and a discussion about where do they see their role. And quite frankly, many of them stated that they do not feel that they have the capacity to be able to take on this additional work and really see themselves as more as promoters of this work. With that, though, we, along with Covering Kids and Families, have been working to educate and train a number of the staff from some of the public health departments, including South Milwaukee, West Allis, Greenfield, and Cudahy St. Francis. So we've done as much as we can in terms of that, and we'll continue to do what we can. I also wanted to speak to some of the questions about how the determination on how that additional $350,000 will be spent. And there was a lot of discussion about working with the Milwaukee Enrollment Network to determine that. I wanted to be clear that the Milwaukee Healthcare Partnership currently publishes quarterly a coverage report. So we look at the enrollment and of the different healthcare programs, the public programs that are available currently. We also monthly monitor the reports that the State Department of Health Services provides and provide that information to our leadership to help us determine what kind of action do we need to take and steps we need to take. So in terms of these future changes, we are in conversation currently with the Department of Health Services, in addition to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS for short, that's the federal branch of the Department of Health and Human Services that is overseeing the changes. So we've been working with them to identify specific matrix, so data reporting that we will be able to have and that we then can share with not only leadership but also the public in helping us determine directions and changes and appropriate actions that need to be taken. So, again, I thank you very much for your opportunity to speak.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Dumer-Combs, Supervisor Jersey?
Thank you. First of all, I do appreciate that you addressed the questions that I had raised. That was very helpful. Could you explain what the group Winged Victory is?
Yes. Winged Victory is an organization that it's through TLS, Transitional Living Services, TLS, and they provide assistance, enrollment assistance, and I think to some degree some case management for clients of the Behavioral Health Department as well as some other behavioral health services. So they receive referrals from those behavioral health services to assist people in accessing appropriate services that they're eligible for. So they currently assist people in enrolling in everything from Badger Care Plus to MA, EBD, SSI, SSDI, food stamps, and the like. And they also are committed to training their staff and ramping up to becoming certified application counselors so that they can expand their scope of service as well.
Thank you.
Anything further? If not, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Next we have Kahindi Lumumba from Job Now speaking in favor. And if I mispronounced your name, I apologize.
Good morning. Assalamu alaikum. You did good. Most people do butcher my name. First of all, I'd like to say that you're making a tremendous act to move forward on this issue. And I'd like to commend the two supervisors that put the amendment in. But even for $100,000 at Black Health Coalition, and we're fighting for waging a minimum wage of $15, you wouldn't have enough to hire three people. Also, in working in my neighborhood, I live in a supervisor mayor district. And going door to door, there's not a lot of information out there what's going on. Here Walker talking about cutting 92,000 people off of VagiCare, which I'm on VagiCare and have health issues. I haven't received no letter, so we're at a standstill there. So when you start talking about putting money together to do enrollment, you've got to know the community you're working with. Within my community, there's a lot of distrust. So who's going to be out there going door to door? If the wrong person go, they will not open the door. They just pretend they're not at home. So I'd like to see y'all go back to the drawing board and look at the money that you have put forward and ask yourself, is this enough?
Any questions for Mr. Lumumba? If not, thank you for coming.
You are.
The last person we have who wants to speak on this is Sharon Keeger from Citizen Action of Wisconsin, speaking in favor.
Just a couple of issues I haven't heard commented on yet today. I'm a professor. I recently retired from UWM, where I was a professor of social work. I had a student we worked last fall, and we did surveys of the free clinics in the community to find out what they did know about the Affordable Care Act. And quite honestly, they're too darn busy. They readily acknowledge they didn't know, they knew nothing about it. And frankly said, well, none of our people are going to qualify anyway. So that was an assumption. So we still have those clinics in this community. I just mention it because they're concerned, and I don't know that they, because they many of them are volunteers only, don't actually get paid, so don't know how much engagement they even have with those, with the coalition and some of the partnership things. I wanted to mention another item in regard to the county jail and the House of Correction. I have colleagues who've been doing research at the House of Corrections with the women there, and have commented on the, you know, there are serious problems with health care in the correction system. But that seems like a prime target population where outreach needs to be done, because people don't stay there forever, and it would be a captive audience. And then finally, just remembering that the county had had responsibility in the past for the GA medical program. This is sort of a carryover. I know that program sort of dissipated, but it had Medicaid funding in it, and it sort of raises an important question for, first of all, people who ever in the traditionally were on the GAMP program, like where are they getting care now? And people who are going to have difficulties reporting their income in the process of applying for this assistance, because of the nature of the work that they do and lack of documentation about, you know, from that. But they're still our responsibility. That's the, I mean, in my opinion, at least. So that concern needs to be there. And then, frankly, I think it needs to be mentioned that if our governor and our legislature had supported and willing to accept the federal money, I don't think this need would be quite so severe.
Okay. Supervisor Haas, do you have a question?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you for coming today, Ms. Keeger. I had a... in looking at the online marketplace information, I saw that on one line mentions on the federal marketplace website, it mentions that people who are currently incarcerated would not be eligible.
Well, of course, I didn't mean to make them eligible while they're in jail.
I'm curious about that, Ms. Geer.
No, because they leave. And they have families on the outside.
Oh, okay.
And they can help educate their family.
Okay.
We have men and women there. And they, you know, they're going to need health care when they get out.
Yeah. So, okay. Mr. Chairman, then, so the people that are currently incarcerated could not apply or could not enroll while they are incarcerated?
No.
But afterward, he's talking about afterward, that makes...
And to know where to go.
That makes a great deal of sense, then, in that case, then.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Mansky, we've had several questions here. If you could come up and... We need to restate the questions, or if you know the information that was asked.
After reading the fiscal note and reading through the resolution, it's our understanding, because right now the county is projecting a $6 million surplus as of July 31st, 2013, for the 2013 year. In that surplus consists of $2.37 million for DHHS, which is a combination both of BHD and DHHS. BHD is projecting a deficit, DHHS a surplus. The combination of the two of those is a surplus of $2.37 million. Within that surplus, we believe that the department has already projected the use of the $229,000, which was the first part that the exec was talking about using. So the remaining funds to get to the 729, an additional $500,000 would come out of
that $2.37 million surplus and within the funds there. And what the resolution talks about is taking funds available within the Department of Health and Human Services and allocating that into a separate org unit where the spending and the contracts could all be accounted for in that area, and so that you could get regular reporting thereof. So the impact on the projected surplus for the year of the $6 million, if all of these monies were spent or encumbered, would be a reduction of $500,000 to the dollar amount. So it would go from $6 million down to $5.5 million. But it's not coming out of the contingency. It's coming out of the available funds from the Department of Health and Human Services, which is covering both BHD and DHHS.
Any questions? Supervisor Jerzyk?
Thank you. Is any part of that $2.3 million surplus part of the family care budget?
No, it is not. So this is exclusive of family care. Family care does their own separate reporting as an agency.
And that designated contingency fund, that's the fund you're talking about for creating the special org unit?
Yeah, and it really wouldn't be a contingency, because what the resolution calls for is that the funds in appropriation transfer would be done by the Department of Administrative Services, reviewed by the Comptroller's Office, place the funds into that account, and then the initial money can be spent by them. And then the additional $350,000 can be spent by them and encumbered by them based upon them coming back to the comptroller and saying, we need these funds right now. So they don't have to come back to the board anymore to use those funds. The monies would be available in there. So your level of control is them coming back. Regular reports have to come back to you as a committee. But in order to encumber those funds, they have to come back to the comptroller's office and say, we're ready to use these funds and we want to encumber these purchases. Department of Health and Human Services is more or less all in control of the funds and entering into the contracts and agreements and all of those types of things. The comptroller's office is there to just review and make sure that, okay, you're entering into this agreement, do you really need it? And based upon the the reports that we would receive, we would understand that those funds have to be used.
Okay, and I also think this is something we're going to need to revisit at budget time. Correct me if I'm wrong, by creating a special org unit for these funds, it will permit us to also target it at budget time. Is that a fair comment?
I mean, the intention of these funds right now is for 2013. I mean, you could address the item for 2014. I don't think the budget was anticipated for then also. I mean, there is $100,000 of thought under Wing Victory for 2014. But, yes, you could always address the issue during the budget.
Sure. And we'll hear about that on Thursday. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Supervisor Mayo, did you have a question?
My quick question on how accountability.
Org unit.
How can you be accountable for the administration? That administration probably is involved in what you're going to be successful with your resolution. Even though you're going to controller, there's no accountability. The only thing he's going to do is say, here's the money, he said if you need it, you go. So where's the accountability? Where will you go exactly? What contract is going to issue? How are they doing? How are they administrating it? There's
well, I think part of the compromise that the chairwoman and the county executive reached was giving the county executive the ability to do that, and the board not having a part in that specifically. So, I mean, the way you put it is one way to put it. I think that's a fair assessment, but we're letting the county executive do that, it appears from this. Any other questions or comments of the comptroller? Supervisor Stamper.
Yes, I would entertain an idea that you may have, Supervisor Mayo, based on some way we can hold this money accountable. From my understanding, we have to basically trust the county executive. So if you have any. What?
I said keep our eyes open.
Yeah, what I'm saying. If you have any accountability ideas, I would love to hear them. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you.
Chairman?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, how's the deal? We've got to be fair about it.
Thank you. Anything further for the comptroller? If not, thank you, Mr. Mansky. We do have several people who registered in favor. I just want to read their name into the record so they know that we saw this and we're listening. Thomas Niebler, representing Micah, registering in favor. Tracy Weimel Lindberg, representing Aurora Healthcare, registering in favor. Jennifer Epps Addison, registering in favor. Katoya Roberts, representing Micah, registering in favor. Ruth Ann Bowen, representing Citizen Action, Wisconsin, registering in favor. Jimmy Coleman, representing WJN, registering in favor. Jarrett Wakefield, representing WJN, registering in favor. Troy Veasley, representing Wisconsin Jobs Now, registering in favor. Edward McFarland, representing Wisconsin Jobs Now, registering in favor. Denise Lowe, representing Wisconsin Jobs Now, registering in favor. Carl Morrow, representing Wisconsin Jobs Now, registering in favor. Chelsea Leggett, representing Wisconsin Jobs Now, registering in favor. Carney, I can't read your last name. It looks like it starts with a B. Registering in favor from Wisconsin Jobs Now, and Ashley Hart, Wisconsin Jobs Now, registering in favor. So those will be part of our record. Then we have an amendment that has been introduced by Supervisor Bowen and Supervisor Stamper, so perhaps we can get a motion on and an explanation of it. You want to explain it, and then Supervisor Bowen maybe can move.
Mr. Chairman, I don't really want to explain the amendment. I just want to ask procedurally, you could take a vote, shall the substitute resolution be substituted for the file that was originally referred to your committee? If it is substituted, then it is properly before your committee, and then you could entertain motion to
I didn't know if we needed to amend it first before we adopted it.
I think you might want to have it in front of the committee first.
Okay. And we'll do it that way. At the recommendation of our parliamentarian, we have a motion to approve the substitute resolution introduced by Supervisor Dmitrievich. Is there any discussion on the substitute? If not, you can take the roll. And Supervisor Stamper, if you're within earshot, we're about to take the roll, so come on back in the room, please.
The question is, shall the substitute resolution be substituted for the resolution before the committee? Supervisors Haas.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Romo West.
Aye.
Jersic?
Aye.
Lipscomb?
Aye.
Bowen?
Aye.
Stamper?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
9 ayes, 0 noes.
Thank you. Amendment 1 offered by Supervisor Bowen, Supervisor Stamper. Supervisor Bowen, do you want to speak to the amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do. The amendment that you have in front of you does not add more money to this piece of legislation, but it does make sure that there are a significant amount of funds that are focused in ground efforts, culturally competent, and by two organizations that are in the community that do great work that I've already reached out to residents and people that need to be signed up for and know about the healthcare change currently, and they are part of the networks that are in discussions of receiving funds and partnerships as well. So the main goal of this amendment is to make sure that resources are getting down to the ground level where you have a number of people in the community that need to be outreached to by I think great methods that are proven that we will touch those individuals. And I do not want to have a situation where we say that we are focused on trying to get people signed up for health care and in parts of all of our districts and parts of the county, you have people that are still being left out. And normally what happens is that you have significant resources infused into efforts, and it does not touch those people on the ground and those organizations that do great work on the ground. So that was the thinking behind me and Supervisor Stamper. I'll allow him to make some comments as well if he'd like. But that was the main goal behind making sure that we specifically make sure that these organizations who are doing this work in these networks have the support to do that.
Supervisor Stamper, did you make a motion? I didn't.
And I motion for approval, sir.
Supervisor Stamper.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I support this amendment. I understand that they are in the Milwaukee Enrollment Network, as are the other organizations. These two organizations specifically target the population that is in need of it the most. So that's the reason why my support. Also, and there's been a history of the Milwaukee Enrollment Network and resources being decided based, I don't know, arbitrarily or whatever, but I wanted to ensure that the population, the community out there, receives enough information on the Affordable Care Act. So I would appreciate your support. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I have Supervisor Romo-West and Supervisor Lipson and Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you very much. And I want to preface my remarks by stating that I have all respect for the Black Health Coalition of Wisconsin and Reproductive Justice Collective. And I've had the honor of working with them on several projects and have a great deal of respect for not only their agencies but their leadership as well. Having said that, I was disappointed to see this amendment come forward, and I was disappointed in that it's very divisive. There are many members of the Milwaukee Enrollment Network, and I think, unfortunately, to single out one of them, especially with funds that you're not even sure are going to be made available, it just it puts me in an awkward position. Do I agree with the statements that were made by both of my colleagues in regard to the need? I absolutely do. Do I believe that this community will suffer if these particular agencies are not singled out for this funding? I'm not sure that I can say that. I have to say I have strong concerns about the Latino community and any community in Milwaukee that doesn't have a grasp on the English language, and there are many. And so I see, and all of the information I have seen is in English. And so that's a huge concern of mine. In the previous resolution, I added language to specify that the homeless population would receive special attention, because I believe that's a huge concern. In fact, I was kind of exonerated to hear that the other counties in the state also share the concern for serving the homeless and making sure that the homeless are not only transitioned from the care they have now, but also enrolled if they don't have health care. And so for me to sit here, again, not knowing whether or not these funds will be dispersed, and singling out one or two agencies to receive 28% of those funds, I can't in good conscience do that. As the language is now, this $350,000 is not a given. It is something that may happen upon review, and whether or not there is a need. I'm going to venture to say that we will end up expending these dollars. So, acting on that today, you know, there's approximately 18 different members of the Milwaukee Enrollment Network. So today, leaving it without the substitution, they each would receive approximately $20,000 to do the work that they're doing in the community in enrolling people in the ACA. Giving these organizations $100,000 off the top then cuts those funds down to approximately $15,000. And again, I think they're all doing great work, and I think they're all doing a lot with a little. I wish that the federal government and that the state would have come in, especially the state, knowing that they were cutting Badger Care to push people into this program, would have given us increased funding so that we would be able to reach all of these populations. But having said that, again, not even knowing whether or not these funds are going to be expended, I don't think it's worth the hurt feelings and the message that it sends. In addition, between today and tomorrow, we still have time to offer amendments. If this passes today, then what stops supervisors, you know, here or on the board floor from amending it and then going after and seeking $150,000 for the next organization, in which case we will expend the $350,000 before we even know whether or not we're going to spend it. It just, to me, sets a bad precedent. And so, unfortunately, I won't be voting for this today. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Lipscomb.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the spirit of the amendment in going beyond the existing populations and organizations and getting a wider outreach effort. However, given what we heard from the administration, despite the chairwoman's efforts at compromise, I found the administration's comments to be less than a ringing and wholehearted endorsement of the compromise and a commitment to pursue this as aggressively as this resolution outlines. I think that this amendment will be treated as a poison pill. I think that the executive will use this as an excuse either to veto it or to not pursue usage of the $350,000. And I'm not interested in doing anything that's going to provide such an excuse or tie this up. I do hope that the administration proves me wrong. I think that they should take the authors of this amendment's ideas to heart, and that there should be an effort by them to identify whether it's these groups or others who do similar work to accomplish those goals. So I hope that they will do that in how they reach out to spend the additional money. I will support the substitute but not this amendment. I continue to believe it's not enough, and I hope that the administration is more aggressive than they've been to date.
Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you. I'm in similar feelings, and you know, if I'm the supervisors with this amendment, I'd be doing the same thing. Again, there's all these different organizations, and I think we'll have to hold, we don't have the accountability, as we just showed. I think the initial $379,000 is very good money. I think if the need shows it, which I think it will, from everything I've read, everything we've seen, that we will expend these monies. We have to have a clearinghouse, but I believe that, you know, not only our chairwoman, but the executive, I'll take him as a word. I mean, I've heard extensively that he's also worked with these organizations in the past year, maybe not as aggressively as he wanted to see. But you know what? There's going to be a lot of input here. There's 18 organizations. Do I think Reproductive Justice Collective and the Black Health Coalition, do I think they're going to get some money? I'm sure they will. They should. Okay. To that extent, because I do see them, then we're just starting to, this is what I was worried about when you had the monies. Everybody gets what they want, and what about my group, and what about my organization? So this is, we get into that situation. So I don't think you want to do that. I think both these organizations and our supervisors, anybody has or can fight for those organizations, and I presume they're going to be part of this. This is not going away. The county executive will have to respond to these organizations. The major group that we've set up here, there's a lot of cooperation going on. If the need can be shown, and I think the speakers we had, you know, showed the need, then they're going to get some money. I don't think they're going to get $100,000, to be honest with you. Okay? And I don't think you can ask for $100,000 when you only have $350,000 to start with. But this all, come on, we're going to have to watch it closely, and I think we will, and I think this is a lot better, and like I said, than it was when we started a week ago. So, thank you.
Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to try to make a reality statement. City of Milwaukee in particular, although I also understand that there are 18 other municipalities, has been designated to have the fourth highest poverty rate for children in the country. As far as African-American males are concerned, African-American males are suffering close to 50% unemployment where nationally the unemployment rate for blacks is 16%. And I'm saying this to say that there is a need to make sure that those people who will be taken off of badge care have an opportunity to get the health insurance that they need. That's why I'm going to vote for the amendment again. And we can measure this and we can measure that, but for me, this is a reality. This is a reality that I, as an African-American, have been subject to since I came to Milwaukee in 1959. So it's good to set aside. I understand that there's some inequity in the sense that if there are 18 organizations, roughly there would be a $15,000 set aside for each of the other 16 organizations. But nevertheless, I'm going with reality. And my reality tells me that I should vote for this amendment so that, as Supervisor Bowen indicated, as far as on the grassroots, ground level, that people have an opportunity, particularly black males. And I am a black male who just happens to be a county supervisor and is making money because I'm employed, and there are so many others who are not employed. So I'm going to vote for this, and I'm also going to look at the fact that this amendment and look at the fact that the Black Health Coalition has indicated that it's going to contact a Hispanic community-based organization to help provide services. So equity, inequity, the reality is that there are so many people who need this in a particular area as far as I'm concerned. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Supervisor Jerzyk?
Thank you. I will try to be brief. I appreciate Supervisor West's comments, and Supervisor Lipscomb, I think, made a very wise comment about the issue if you include this in a threatened veto, perhaps. But I would like to just ask the Milwaukee Enrollment Network, who seems to be doing a very good job, to be vigilant about this. And if the $350,000 that is being put in the administration's purviews, if they're not responding, please let policymakers know so that we can respond to this. And I think we're going to have to respond to this, certainly in budget, but we're not as powerless as we think. If the administration isn't going to do or follow through, and I'm very unhappy with the way we've been communicated with, that then we can revisit the issue of contingencies and just outright put money into your hands. There is a way to do it. So please be vigilant and communicate with policymakers. I think the Black Health Coalition and the Reproductive Justice Collective, very articulate, good leadership. Thank you for coming today. But all of this, I think, should be within the Milwaukee Enrollment Network. There are so many more needs than we're going to be able to meet. And I don't want to play Solomon up here. So let's let that group who seems to be taking the leadership on this do the work. And that's why I'm going to vote against the amendment. Not that I don't think it has merit. I appreciate my colleagues bringing it. But for that reason, I'm not going to support it today. Thank you.
Supervisor Haas.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This could be a good example of how hopefully a future well-functioning county government can operate, where the legislative branch sets a broad spending amount and the administration follows through with oversight from the legislative branch. On this amendment specifically, where I have an issue is the designation of the first $100,000 of this appropriation. I do understand the need of the communities targeted within it. For sure, God, they need it. That said, I'm not comfortable with in this body articulating exactly where the first chunk should go. I tried my best to understand the need that is here, but I'm not comfortable with the narrowness of this amendment. So I do plan to vote no. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. I think we've heard from everybody. I think we all know where we are. We're not changing any minds. I know people have other commitments that they want to get to. If you have anything you really want to add, go ahead. But
I just want to thank you, Chairman. I just want to say that I appreciate everybody's comments. However, there are organizations in here that have been designated with extra money based on need, based on their capacity, based on relationship, whatever the case may be. Extra money has been allocated to other organizations. Whatever the metrics are, it's based on a different reasoning, but it's all based on help. So, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, if I could just say
go ahead,
quickly,
briefly.
Thank you. I do want to note that the goal of this legislation was not to be divisive or to pick one organization over the other, but to highlight the great work that grassroots contacting and outreach has. And these two groups are doing that type of work in the network, and they are a part of the network that we are referring to. What I just don't want to see happen is that there is not a focus on that type of work, because I know with the poverty that I have in my district and the people that are not connected through computers or different organizations, if you are not going to their door, if you are not reaching out to these people where they are, and these groups know how to do that work, we are not going to touch those groups. And we're going to put resources out there to get people enrolled, and people will be missed. So that was the only goal, was to make sure that we can touch that population. Now the conversation is, well, how much funds do you take out to devote to that? I think we still have $250,000 out of the $350,000 allocation that can go towards other efforts. And this still is under the power of the exec and the director of health, Hector Colon, where they will look at the need and what they want to put the funds towards. But at the same time, I just want to make sure that this important work of reaching out to people on the ground is emphasized, because if you do not, that's just how it works with people that need to be reached out to. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Hoping to bring this to a close, Supervisor Roma West, you have some closing comments
very,
before
very
we
quickly,
take the roll.
Yes. My closing comments would be that I do not disagree at all with the comments that Supervisor Bowen just made. It's just that with the information that I have in front of me, I can't decipher whether or not the Black Health Coalition and Reproductive Justice are the only ones that are doing door-to-door outreach. 16th Street Community Health Center is not here. There's a whole bunch of other different members of this network that are not here. And so I do not disagree at all with what Supervisor Bowen is stating, and the same is true in my district. The same is true in most inner-city districts. You do need to have someone who goes door-to-door and knocks or stands outside of the grocery store and hands information to people and says, hey, are you aware of this? You have to do that. A, because there's there's a language barrier. Sometimes it's a literacy issue. Other times, you find something on your door, you assume it's garbage and you throw it away, or you think it's from an elected official. So I agree with that. I do not disagree. What the trouble that I have today is that I don't know what the outreach efforts are of the other organizations, and therefore don't feel comfortable setting aside one agency when there may be other agencies out there doing the same thing, and every agency that is doing something is relevant and important. Thank you.
Would you take the roll on Supervisor Bowen's motion to adopt Amendment 1, please?
Supervisors Haas?
No.
Schmidt?
No.
Roma West?
No.
Jurczyk?
No.
Lipscomb?
No.
Bowen?
Aye.
Stamper?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
4 ayes, 5 noes. The amendment fails.
Thank you. Are we back on the substitute, Mr. So now we have the substitute as it was introduced, and we had a motion to approve. Could you take the roll on that motion, please?
Mr. Chair, who made the motion to approve?
I thought Supervisor Roma West.
On the motion to approve the substitute resolution, Supervisors Haas?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Roma West?
Aye.
Jurczyk?
Aye.
Lipscomb?
Aye.
Bowen?
No.
Stamper?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
7 ayes, 2 noes. The substitute resolution is approved.
Okay. That's all the business we have before this committee, so the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.